You know, in the Old Testament, everybody had to go through the priest. You wanted to talk with God, you had to go through the priest. You want to hear from God, you had to go through the priest. And then something significant happened. Christmas. Jesus came, and he became our mediator, and we were able to go right to Jesus, right to God through Jesus. He became our mediator instead of a priest. So there's this phrase that God developed called priesthood of believers. The Anabaptists in particular made that a very big part, which we are a part of, made that a very big part of their theology and their doctrine, the priesthood of believers, which means that we folks can go directly to God. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through the clergy. We don't have to go through the preacher, which means this: everybody that is a Christ follower hears from God. It's not just the pastor that hears from God. It's not just the priests that hear from God, but every Christ follower hears from God. So back months ago, Kaylee and BJ came up to me, specifically Kaylee, and said, I feel like the Lord has laid a message on my heart. Is there a possibility I can share it at Timberline? She shared last week that she was really hoping I would say no, so she didn't have to do it. But, you know, don't ask me stuff like that unless you mean it. So, and Kaylee and BJ shared last week, and I heard a number of comments. Some people said they spoke right to me. So I want to encourage you to open your heart to what God may be speaking to you. Also, this past fall, somebody else came to me, Jim Snyder, and said, I have this message that's been brewing. Actually, I think he came to me a year ago, three quarters of a year ago, and he said, this message has been brewing. So I don't know whether you can handle two Snyders in a week, but 2 weeks in a row, I should say. God laid something on Jim's heart, and he's going to share that with you this morning. Jim, come on up here if you would. But I want you to know again that, you know, hearing from God isn't just what the pastor hears. It isn't just what the clergy hears. It's not just what the priests hear. But all of us hear from God. And so Jim has a message he's going to share with you. I believe it's going to bless you. I believe it's going to speak to your heart. So let's pray. Father God, I pray for Jim. I pray that you just bless him as he listens carefully to your voice, that he can hear you, and that we in turn can hear what you have for us. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Jim. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hey, guys. So not that long ago, I came into a place of prayers for people that it just wasn't turning out the way the God-directed prayers would indicate they should go. And it was a couple of different things that, you know, these were big-ticket items. And it was depressing for me to see and watch all the time of prayer for these events and these people not materialize the way I perceived it was supposed to. And it brought me to the point of, why, God, does this happen like this? And I'm just kind of curious, have any of you guys ever been to that place where you're praying for someone or something and it just went the opposite way of what you were hoping it would be? How many people have felt that? Have dealt with that? Yeah. It's common to man. It really is. And I was back there again. And I'm like, ugh. And what really bothers me about that is it's just, and maybe you can connect with this, it monopolizes your thinking. Through the day, whenever something would trigger a thought, I'd think of these events. And it just, that's all I focused on. And in my morning time, when I'm talking to my God, this just overpowered that time frame, these thoughts. Why is this going on? I don't get it. I didn't like that. I don't like that. Because for me, my morning time is my communication time, my interaction time with my God. And when this kind of stuff overpowers that, I kind of lose connection. I lose communication. I kind of lose relationship some. And I just don't dig it at all. And I saw that this was coming back again. You know, it was starting to monopolize my morning times. It was starting to monopolize my through the day time. And I thought, you know, I just got to do something different here. So I started in the morning, started really focusing on God's promises, just like what we were singing. This is kind of scary that they had that song up there, but I started focusing purposely on, God, you are sovereign. God, you make all things work for the good, for the building of your kingdom. And that's the individual kingdom in each one of us. That's the corporate kingdom, the church right here. It's also the global kingdom, the global church. He makes everything work for the good, for the building of his kingdom. I can't see that, but I know it's true. I started focusing on that. I started focusing on, you are master of everything. You're master of every breath. You answer to no one. He loves talking with us and answering our questions, but he doesn't answer to us. He doesn't answer to powers and principalities, spiritual beings. He's front row, dude. He's master of all things. And so when these thoughts were coming back and this questioning, and I just started purposefully focusing on that. And after a couple of weeks of that, my posture kind of switched a little bit. And I started thinking, you know, this is common to man. So you must have great purpose for this. I think it stinks because I don't like it. It's not uncomfortable. It's not fun watching people die of cancer. You know, it's not fun watching things just fall apart for folks. But you must have great purpose for it because you keep bringing us back to it. So I started thinking, God, why? Why the why? What's the purpose? You have great purpose for this. Can you show me what that purpose is? And after a couple of weeks of that, I started seeing things. Verses would pop into my brain. Verses that I've known. And for me, the way I learn stuff is I'm a visual learner. And so I have to see something in front of me. And my master knows that, and so he teaches me that way. And so when he brings a verse to my mind, he shows me a visual picture of what that thing looks like. And so I'm kind of watching a running movie in my head, I guess. I don't know. But he's always done that for me. It's just, I'm a visual learner. So he started bringing verses to my memory and starting showing me pictures. And after a few weeks of that, I started realizing that, you know, there's several points of interest that you are bringing to me, points of wisdom that you're bringing to me. And it was starting to answer not just the why, but it was answering why the why. Why is it important? And through all of that, actually, I've come to a point of closure with that. Not that I'm happy with when things don't turn out well or the way I want or what I think I need. But I've come to closure with the fact that it doesn't make me angry anymore and it doesn't monopolize me anymore. Yeah, I'm still frustrated. But I have an deeper understanding of why it's important. And so I wanted to bring that to you guys because it's common to man. And it may speak to you, it may not. I hope it does. The handout you got is just a whole bunch of verses. And this is my desire for you guys to take it home, because I don't have time to read all these. I wish I could, but I can't. So I'm just going to highlight them a little bit and speak about it somewhat. But my desire is for you guys to take this home, study these, meditate on them, ask God to direct you. Ask his Holy Spirit to show you what he wants you to see in this. Maybe totally different than what he showed me. But I know for me it gave closure. First point. There's three of these verses, the first three. Daniel, Revelations, and Revelations. Now, I know not too long ago we talked about Daniel up here, 10:10. It kind of was neat. And so I'm just going to do a quick highlight of that. Daniel was a prophet. And he was in a position where he needed to hear God desperately. And so he asked God for answers, and they didn't come. And so he did what he knew to do. He continued praying and he started fasting. And it took a while. And then finally an angel showed up. And this angel said to him, your master answered your question the day you asked it, but I couldn't get here. And read that. This isn't just a lightweight angel that showed up either. But he said, I couldn't get here because the king of Persia prevented me from coming. Now, he wasn't talking about a physical flesh and blood king of the land. He was talking about the spiritual principalities and powers that that person allowed in that region. And those powers and principalities were not allowing him to get there. And he needed a stronger angel, Gabriel, an archangel, to come, clear a path for him to get in, tell him what he needed to hear, and then for him to get back out. The point I'm trying to get with that this time around is this. There's more going on than what's going on. That's a catchphrase that Keith Sensen had many years ago. And it registered to me, and I actually wrote it in the front of my Bible. It's one of them things that I just look at from time to time because it's so true. There's more going on than what's going on. We, as God's people, we are called to pray what we know and what we understand according to our knowledge of scriptures. We're being obedient when we do that. Now, you got to look at this. There's people at this side of the spectrum who are just born again, maybe never even opened the book. So their knowledge of the wisdom in the Bible is really non-existent. And then we have people at this end of the spectrum who've been saved all their lives, maybe, and they're scholars. They read the book front to back. They have it memorized. They can tell you, you tell them a verse, and they can spell it out for you. They just have the whole thing memorized. And the rest of us, we're somewhere in the middle. But we're called to pray according to what we know and understand. That means this person's prayer is relevant and precious to God, and so is this person and everyone in between. We are called by our Master to pray what we know according to our understanding of scriptures. And we're doing it right. We are being obedient. God is pleased. That doesn't mean we are praying exactly what God needs to have happen. Daniel, he was praying. There was things in the spiritual realms that was interfering with his answers. He wasn't privileged to that. He didn't see that at all. When the angel finally did get there and talk to him, then he maybe realized. You know, that happens to us today. Revelations 12:1-9 and then also 12:17. There's a story there where John, who was on the island of Patmos, this revelation came to him. This vision came to him of things that are happening in the spiritual realm, and he was trying to write them down as best he could understand with what he was seeing. And so sometimes in the book of Revelation, it gets a little weird. But what he was allowed to see was things that were happening in the spiritual realm, the battlefields that go on there. And he was trying to express it and explain it. So, you know, those verses talks about this dragon that came and is in front of a woman who's about to give birth. And, you know, and the dragon was going to destroy the baby as soon as it was born. And, you know, we're talking about Christ being born. And, you know, we were singing about how the angels were singing to shepherds. But, you know, this battle was going on the same as that. Maybe at the same time. I don't know. The point there is this. There's more going on than what's going on. There are things that affect our prayers way outside of our zone of seeing and understanding. And I think our God does that to protect us. I think he allows us not to see into the spiritual realms of things for our own safety. You know, we come in here. I mean, in my mind, I can see there's demons and angels all over the place out there. Battling it out, they're duking it out. Realistically, I kind of believe, I mean, I can't prove this, but this is where my head's at, my heart is at. Wherever we go, we're shining light in darkness, wherever we go. So every place we go, we kick in battles in the spiritual realm. There's angels and there's demons out there, and they're fighting when we show up on the scene. The battle gets more intense when we proclaim Jesus with words or without words. But it goes on. And I just want you to see that there's stuff happening that affects our prayers and how they're answered that we don't get to see. Another part of that is this. And this would be Mark and Acts in these verses. And there's many more. These are the ones that were brought to me. But there's many more. In Mark, the storyline goes there is this. The disciples were asked by someone to pray over their son or daughter because they had a demon. And they did, and they couldn't cast it out. And then Jesus shows up, and so this person goes to him and says, hey, you know, I asked them, they couldn't do it. I mean, can you help me out here? And Jesus did. Disciples came to him later and said, man, what's up? I mean, we've cast out demons. You told us, you sent us out, we were doing it. Why didn't it work this time? And he said, this kind comes out with prayer. Some verses say come out with prayer and fasting, but I want to focus on this kind. He said this kind. You know, there's different levels of empowerment in the spiritual realms. We have angels, we have archangels. The demonic side is a mirror image because Satan wants to be God. The only problem is it's perverted. There's power levels in the demonic realms that we have to deal with. This kind had maybe a little bit more clout than the others that they were casting out just by saying the name of Jesus. Acts, it's another one that's really good at that. And this is a storyline where there was a high priest who had seven sons who were watching the apostles, and they were going out and they were casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And they were doing that because they were watching the apostles do it. And one day they came to this guy and they were doing this, they were casting out demons. And it's kind of interesting. And for those of you who are into intercessory praying, pay attention to this because there's so much volumes being spoken here. But this demon rose up and said, back up the trolley, dude. Okay. Jesus, I know. Peter, I know about. Who are you? And he proceeded to kick their butts. As a matter of fact, the Bible said they ran out stripped and bleeding and naked and just totally embarrassed. But these guys were doing this. It says in the storyline that they were going out and they were casting out demons. But now here's one that said, uh-uh, this ain't working, Jack. Just look at that sentence, that statement that demon made, because he revealed a lot when it comes to spiritual embattlements. Jesus, I know. Personal relationship, not maybe a good one. Peter, I know about. That's Peter's legacy. But who are you? See, that demon recognized that there's power in the name of Jesus, but he also recognized that the person speaking it has to own that power, and believers own that power, and non-believers don't. There's stuff going on that causes us to question why things don't happen the way we think they should. That was one of the points that was brought to me through this whole time. There's several, but I only have time for two. The second one is kind of like that, but it's a little bit different. And it actually answers more of the why. Why this why is important. Why this stress and anguish is an important thing for us. I need to go to Hebrews 11:1 and 11:6 to bring this to light. Hebrews 11:1 says this, that to have faith, you must believe in the unseen. In other words, faith begins where the five senses end. The five senses tell me that this is here. I can use my five senses. I know this is here. I don't need faith to know that this is here. Faith starts where the five senses ends. And the only way for us to recognize God is to have faith. Okay? 6 says this. It takes faith to please God. Matter of fact, it says the only way to please God is through faith. And so if you go back to Genesis, in the very beginning of the book, we find out that a purpose we were made is so that we can have an intimate connection with our God. That's why we're here. To be like this with our Master. This is saying, because of the fall, we have to have faith to believe in somebody that we can't see. And the only way that we can please God is through that faith. And the only way to build a relationship like this is through those avenues. Does that make sense? That's laying the groundwork here for point 2. So here we have fallen human nature. Everyone in here understands what that's like. It's the biggest battle we have every day when we wake up is ourselves, is our fallen nature. I want to look at Mark 11:24 here a sec. It says right there, Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. That taken by itself is a pretty strong statement. And I've known, sat under teaching where it said just that. But you need to add that in with the verses in front of it and the verses behind it, because that's just part of a big picture of what he's trying to present. I mean, you guys have been praying for a while. Know that that isn't true, verbatim. Everything we get, we pray for. But let's think. Let's think for a second. Thinking about what we just thought about faith and all that kind of stuff. And think about our sovereign God and fallen human nature. What if that verse all by itself were true? And everything we prayed for, every time we got exactly how we wanted it, exactly when we wanted it, because we're fallen nature, so we want everything instantly. What would happen? How long would it take for us to totally focus on the gift and completely forget about the giver of the gift? How long would it take before faith would just hang limp? How long would it take before we completely forget about our God? If that were true, word for word. Look. How many people here woke up this morning and thought about gravity? Like, geez, how am I going to get my Cheerios in the bowl? How am I going to get the milk in the bowl? What if I got to go to the bathroom? Oh! Nobody. Nobody does. Why? Because it's there all the time. It's consistent. It never changes. We don't even have to think about it. How long would it take for us to have that same kind of posture towards our God if everything we pray for all the time happens exactly the way we want it instantly? Our Master would be shooting himself in the foot if he did that. Again, he designed us and created us to have this kind of relationship with him. And it takes faith to believe that he exists. And it takes that faith to please him. And it takes that faith for this to happen. And if this didn't happen, He shoots himself in the foot. He's not going to do that. You know, as much as I can't stand the times of being in that place of why, and the frustration and the anguish that goes with it, because I'm watching people suffer, and I know my God is big enough just to go like that and fix it, I'm still frustrated with that. But I have closure with it because I understand there's a bigger thing going on than what's going on. We actually need that to happen. We need to have that pressure pushing against our faith so our faith pushes back or it would hang limp. We need to have that building aspect of creating stronger, greater faith in our lives so that we're pleasing our gods more so that we are coming into a relationship like this. I have seen this, and I'm sure most of you guys have as well. When people fall into that kind of a scenario, we do one of two things. We either say, enough of this, and turn and walk away from God, or we turn and walk towards God. This last event that I dealt with a while ago, with the whole why thing, it brought me closer to my God and not farther away. And actually gave me some insight that I never really knew before. And it gave me some a much bigger picture of who my master God is than I had before. It made me stronger. It made me like this more. And it's common to man. It's like that for all of us. There was other points, but I just don't have time. But I want you to recognize this. This was a common thread that was going through all of this whole time. We pray and we believe according to our knowledge of Scripture. We're doing it right. We're pleasing our Master. Don't ever think, people, don't ever think your prayers mean nothing. Don't ever think they just bounce around the walls. Everyone is precious. Everyone is important, and everyone is powerful. That brings me to my final point here. And this is something that just kind of came in with all this other stuff that I was figuring out and seeing and recognizing. While he was showing me step by step this process, I came to the point, and I'm a jerk sometimes, so I'll just tell you straight up. I came to this point where like, so I don't know what I'm praying for. So you won't let me see this stuff that's happening out here. So what's the point? Why should I pray at all? I mean, you know, why should I pray at all? Well, I got an Instagram answer on that one. And it was like this. He was like right in my face. He said, because I command you to. Consistently, all the time. I'm like, ooh. And I went and climbed under a rock and I was hoping it would squish me. But at the same time with that, Revelations 8 came to my mind. Now, I didn't know where it was at. I just knew the verse, and I had to go find it. But this is what Revelation 8 says. In heaven, there is a solid gold censer, and a mighty angel goes and picks this censer up. And what's in this censer is all the prayers of the saints. Anyone who's a born-again believer is a saint. Anyone who believed in the Messiah to come before Christ came is a saint. Every prayer of all the saints are in this censer. God keeps them all. Everyone. They're important to him. Revelation says, this angel takes this censer and he goes over to God's altar and he digs out hot coals and he puts in there with that. Them hot coals, for me, represents God's power, his authority, his holiness, everything about him. And he puts these hot coals in with those prayers. And so now we have man's voice, man's prayers, connected with God's authority. And Revelation says, he takes his censer and he hurls it down on the earth. And there was silence for a half an hour. And then the trumpet started and the bowls of God's wrath started. And the destruction of our enemy took place. Grasp this, guys. He uses our prayers, every one of them, as the catalyst to destroy the only enemy we have. Don't ever think your prayers aren't worth anything. I've read that verse, I don't know how many times I read Revelations. I have no idea. But when that came to me that morning, and I saw this visual picture that he was showing me this time concerning this, it's like, I'm like, yeah, I got all excited, and I can tell you now, I will never shut up. I'm going to be praying. I just will not. As a matter of fact, I have a bucket wish list. And I have a new item in that bucket for God, and that is when the day comes that I'm to breathe my last breath, my desire is, my hope is that I'm coherent enough that I can spend that last breath praying, because I know what it does to the enemy who's been trying to destroy me and you and everybody else. I know what it does to the people that we prayed for who died of cancer anyway. I know what it does to the marriages that blew apart and never got restoration. I know what it does to some of the hard decisions we have to make in life that don't turn out the way we think they should, and people get trashed. I know what it does. Don't ever think your prayers are not important. They're precious to God. This kind of brought closure for me. I don't know if it does for you or not. I hope it does. But my real desire is, and the goal, and this is what I said before, take these verses, and there's many more. These are just the ones that he showed me. But take these verses, study them, and ask God, what do you have for me in this? It'd be amazing what you hear if you listen. So, my friend, I'm done. Look at this. Time is good. So, you know, folks, live long and prosper. See ya.
Let's give Jim a round of thanks, would you? You know, I was thinking as you were wrapping that message up, Jim, I thought, you know, not all of us can sing and maybe you can, Jim.
No.
Turn off his mic, would you? Not all of us can sing, and some of us look pretty bad when we dance. Not all of us are smart. Not all of us can lead a business. Not all of us are good with people. But all of us can pray. All of us can pray. And I think that image of the fact that our prayers matter and they stack up. I'll tell you what was going on in my head when you were saying that, Jim. I was just thinking of a balance beam. And, you know, those prayers that we pray just keep going. And there comes a tipping point, you know. And it might not be in our lifetime. That's the thought that I had. So I want to thank you, Jim, for sharing that. I encourage you to have conversation with him afterwards. Prayer is... It's a powerful thing, and all of us here have been disillusioned probably in some way because we prayed and hoped that our prayers would be answered like you talked about in the beginning. And so thanks, Jim, for sharing that. I'm going to invite all of you to stand to your feet for the closing for the benediction. I'm going to invite Jeff and Michelle. They're going to come up and just be available. You guys can come up right now. They're going to be right up here up front afterwards, and they're going to hang around a bit just to pray with any of you that would like to have someone pray with you. So let's bow our heads. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. amen and go in that peace this morning. God bless you.